A disgrace to the profession. The world scientists, in their own words, on Michael E. Mann, his hockey stick, and their damage to science. Volume 1. Compiled and edited by Mark Stein. Illustrated by Josh. Narrated by Melissa House. Published by Stockade Books. All rights reserved. Part 19. Scientist number 111. Quote, "The hockey stick concept of global climate change is now widely considered totally invalid, an embarrassment to the IPCC." Closed quote. Professor Don J. Easterbrook, Ph.D., Professor Emeritus of Geology at Western Washington University, Fellow of the Geological Society of America, and past President of the Quaternary Geology and Geomorphology Division, Founding Member of the American Quaternary Association, Member of the Commission on Quaternary Stratigraphy of North America, and U.S. Representative to UNESCO International Geological Correlation Project, Associate Editor of Geomorphology and the Geological Society of America Bulletin. Mark. In his book, Evidence-Based Climate Science, Professor Easterbrook put it very bluntly, quote, "The Mann et al. Hockey stick temperature curve was so at odds with thousands of published reports, one can only wonder how a single tree ring study could purport prevail over such a huge amount of data. At best, if the tree ring study did not accord with so much other data, it should simply mean that the tree rings were not sensitive to climate change, not that all the other data were wrong. The hockey stick concept of global climate change is now widely considered totally invalid and an embarrassment to the IPCC." Close quote. Mark. Surely many scientists thought as much all those years ago, and yet it took an extraordinary amount of time for them to speak up against a wholehearted assault on the scientific method. One by one, disinterested parties who took the time to look at McIntyre and McKittrick's work came away feeling the two Canadian outsiders had the better case than Mann and his acolytes. In February 2005, Anthony Lupo, professor of atmospheric science at the University of Missouri, fellow of the Royal Meteorological Society, IPCC expert reviewer, and editor-in-chief of National Weather Digest, was one of the first American climate scientists to contact the stick slayers directly. Quote, "I will confess that I was not aware of the details of Steve McIntyre and Ross McKittrick's critique of the hockey stick, but after a cursory reading of the enclosed materials, it seems that the critics have valid points. I've been skeptical of the hockey stick for a long time, simply on the grounds that there is too much evidence that climate has been more changeable than the hockey stick would indicate. Also, having taken part in the IPCC review process for the second and third assessments, I was continually frustrated with drafts that had, we'll include text later, we'll insert figure here, riddled throughout them. Thus, I'm not surprised that some may have made errors in their science, and then, for whatever reason, failed to provide their methods. Again, I'm not an expert in tree ring studies, but Stephen Ross's work to me makes good points. I'm happy to see work like theirs get published." Close quote. His was a comparatively lonely voice in 2005. Not now. Scientist number 112. Quote, "Claims based on the Mann hockey stick curve are by now totally discredited." Close quote. Professor Peter Stilps, Ph.D., Professor of Physical Chemistry at the Royal Institute of Technology in Stockholm, Fellow of the Royal Society of Chemistry, Member of the American Chemical Society and the American Physical Society, and Docent of Physical Chemistry at Uppsala University and Abo University, Member of the International Advisory Board for the RSC journal Chemistry World. Mark. In September 2006, Professor Stilbs and the Royal Institute of Technology hosted 120 participants from 11 countries, representing a wide spectrum of views at a conference on global warming, Scientific Controversies in Climate Variability. At the conclusion of the meeting, he wrote, quote, "By the final panel discussion stage of the conference, there appeared to be wide agreement that, one, it is likely that there has been a climate trend toward global warming underway since 1850. Two, there are many uncertainties in climate modeling. Three, natural variations in climate are considerable and well documented. Four, there is no reliable evidence to support that the 20th century was the warmest in the last 1,000 years. Previous claims based on the Mann hockey stick curve are by now totally discredited." Mark. Bert Bolin, former head of the IPCC, agreed to attend this conference on the condition they waived his admission fee of approximately $25. When one is part of the transnational climate jet set, one loses the habit of ever writing a personal check. In the end, Professor Bolin stormed out on the first day after a presentation by Professor Tom Sigelstad of the University of Oslo that concluded with a famous cartoon showing the inverse relationship between global warming and the size of bathing suits, from billowing bloomers to thongs. Bolin exploded with rage, told Professor Sigelstad to read a textbook, denounced the conference as garbage, and then walked out. So the former IPCC chair was not part of that consensus on the totally discredited hockey stick. As the host of one of the first conferences to push back against man's cartoon science, Professor Stilbs would not be surprised by the revelations that emerged in the years ahead. In 2011, responding to his colleague Per Bjorm, emeritus professor of chemical engineering at the Royal Institute of Technology, after Bjorn's inventory of Hide the Decline, Professor Stilbs remarked sadly, quote, "Thank you, Per, for this thorough compilation of an organized scam. The climate scientists who do not renounce it lack all credibility. Unfortunately, it seems to apply to most of them." Close quote. What man hath wrought. Scientist number 113. Quote, "The Mann curve does not hold anymore. It's not falsifiable, so it's not science." Close quote. Professor Vincent Cortelot, Ph.D., director of the Institute of Geophysics in Paris and professor of geophysics at the Paris Diderot University, Chevalier of the Legion d'Honneur, and member of the French Academy of Sciences, former director of research at the French Ministry for National Education, Research, and Technology, former editorial advisor to the journal La Recherche. Mark. In December 2010, Vincent Cortelot gave a presentation to the International Energy and Climate Conference in Berlin, in which, inter alia, he expressed mystification as to why the British and Americans had sole charge of the global surface temperature records, which means, in effect, according a monopoly to Mann's UK buddies, Phil Jones and a handful of others, and Mann's US buddies, Gavin Schmidt and another handful. So much for the thousands of scientists from hundreds of countries. Professor Cortelot also managed to trump the 97% consensus. Quote, "I'm pretty sure here that 99.9% of the people, which if I round it up means everyone, is aware of the fact that the Mann curve does not hold anymore. It's not falsifiable, so it's not science." Close quote. As Professor Cortelot says in that lecture, he asked hockey team deputy captain Phil Jones for data, but like McIntyre and McKittrick, was rebuffed. In 2008, Jones had written to James Hansen, quote, "Jim, I see you're down for a meeting in London tomorrow and Friday. I have been having something of a run-in with a French scientist called Vincent Cortelot. He is making Edward Bard's life awful in French. If you're there on the Friday when Vincent is talking, then tell him he's just completely wrong. He will likely say the climate isn't warming, and even if it was, it has little to do with greenhouse gases. So it shouldn't be difficult!" Exclamation, exclamation. "I'm lecturing here in Norwich to students, so can't make it to London. If you're not there on the Friday, just make sure one or two reasonable scientists are aware that they have invited a bit of a rogue. Cheers, Phil. Close quote. The French climatologist Jean Jouzel took a less hostile position on Professor Cortelot. He said, quote, if the warming plateau continues for another 10 years, Cortelot will be right. But in 10 years, it will be too late. Close quote. Dr. Jouzel said that in 2005. On his terms, Cortelot is right. Scientist number 114. Quote, this lack of scientific rigor has totally discredited the curve. Close quote. Professor István A. Markó, Ph.D. et al. István Markó is professor of organic chemistry at the Catholic University of Louvain, chairman of the European Chemical Society, and the man in whose honor the chemical reaction the Markó-Lamb deoxygenization was named. Alain Préat is professor of geology at the Free University of Brussels. Henri Masson is a professor at Maastricht University and former vice president of SRB2, the Royal Belgian Society of Engineers and Industrialists. Samuel Ferfari is professor of energy geopolitics at the Free University of Brussels and a longtime senior advisor on energy to the European Commission. Mark. In 2013, in a country where acceptable opinion on quote-unquote climate change is even narrower than in the Anglophone world, Professors Markó, Préat, Masson, and Ferfari received a rare invitation to give a half-dozen well-attended lectures on the subject at the Royal Academy of Belgium. Among their conclusions, quote, 1. The climate has always changed. This was true during ancient times, and it has also been true since the beginning of the modern era. These climate changes have always been, and still are, independent of the concentration of CO2 in the atmosphere. 2. During Roman times and the Middle Ages, temperatures were observed well in excess of those currently experienced. From the 16th till the 19th century, a cold period referred to as the Little Ice Age predominated. All these changes took place without mankind being held responsible. 3. The so-called abnormally rapid increase in global temperatures between 1980 and 2000 is not unusual at all. There have in fact been several such periods in the past during which temperatures rose in a similar manner and at comparable rates, even though fossil fuels were not yet in use. 4. Temperature measurements do not necessarily correlate with a building up or decrease in heat, since heat variations are energy changes subject to thermal inertia. Apart from heat, many other parameters have an influence on temperature. Moreover, the measurement of temperatures is subject to numerous large errors. When the magnitude and plurality of these measurement errors are taken into account, the reported increase in temperatures is no longer statistically significant. 5. The famous hockey stick curve, known as the Mann curve, and presented 6 times by the IPCC in its penultimate report, is a result, among other things, of a mistake in the statistical calculations and an incorrect choice of temperature indicators, i.e. proxies. This lack of scientific rigor has totally discredited the curve, and it was withdrawn without any explanation from subsequent IPCC reports. Close quote. Professor Masson has also said, quote, we remember the famous curve in the shape of a hockey stick. However, no serious scientist still gives it the least credit. Close quote. Scientist number 115. Quote, a shoddy stick. Close quote. Professor Marcel Leroux, Ph.D., 1938 to 2008. Director of the Laboratory of Climatology at Jean Moulin University, Lyon. Knight of the Order des Palmes Académiques. First proponent of the mobile polar high, a new concept explaining the meridional air mass and the worldwide propagation of paleoclimatic changes. Mark. In 2005, Professor LaRue wrote a book published in English as Global Warming, Myth or Reality? The Erring Ways of Climatology. The section beginning on page 215 is headlined, A Shoddy Stick. Quote, so the quote-unquote hockey stick has had its day, and as Corcoran puts it, is about to get swept away as a piece of junk science. However, this saga has had its uses, and in more than one way, because it is symptomatic of the state of mind of the IPCC, whose scientific rigor and credibility seem rather tenuous. It appears to be preoccupied with using scientific reasoning only to facilitate propaganda. It comes as no surprise that it was Sir Robert Watson, true to form in his capacity as IPCC president, who proclaimed at The Hague in November 2000 that the Earth's surface temperature this country is clearly warmer than in any other century during the last 1,000 years. It highlights just how far some scientists are prepared to go to gain recognition, to be seen as original, even to curry favor with some existing or hoped-for sponsor, or otherwise to seek benefits for themselves and their groups. It reveals the degree to which scientific journals or those considered as such can follow the fashion and adopt the methods of the media types, or just deliberately adopt the parti pris of the IPCC. An editorial team can, by selecting the right referee, launch onto the market any so-called scientific idea, just as if it were some kind of washing powder or fizzy drink, and then shamelessly block any corrections for the most feeble of reasons. All this represents an obvious danger to science and to its credibility. Close quote. Professor LaRue was right, but as he wrote on page 209 of his book, quote, we are certainly no longer moving in the realms of science here, exclamation point, close quote. Earlier, the Nobel laureate, Ivar Giaver, compared the hockey stick to a Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale. Alas, in the new version of The Emperor's New Clothes, the little boy points out that His Majesty is naked, and the enraged courtiers and the more fevered members of the crowd club him to a pulp, yelling, don't you know, the clothing is settled! Exclamation. And so almost two decades into the global warming quote-unquote pause, man and company were still insisting that the climate models are all in agreement, so it's reality that must be wrong. And we need to find a way to bring a flawed reality into line with our flawless models. Professor LaRue was right. We have departed the realm of science, and we have yet to return. Scientist number 116, quote, the charlatan Michael Mann and his infamous hockey stick, close quote. Dr. Walter Stark, Ph.D., marine biologist whose half-century of reef studies has led to the discovery of dozens of hitherto unknown species of fish, as well as corals, shells, and crustaceans. A pioneer in the use of scuba diving for marine research and reef biology, whose decade-long project beginning in 1958 in the Florida Keys resulted in the collection of over 20,000 scientific specimens and what remains the greatest number of fish ever recorded in any single locale in the New World, some 517 species, 60 of which had never been found in U.S. waters, and 19 of which were entirely unknown to science. Developer of the optical dome port for wide-angle underwater photography and of the electrolung, which enabled him to explore deep reefs where no man had gone before, and which has since been taken up by NASA, the U.S. Navy, and many others. Mark. At the end of 2014, Dr. Stark surveyed the state of the climate wars in the Australian magazine Quadrant. Quote, the ultimate arbiter, climate itself, has made clear its decision by ceasing to warm for over 18 years. Despite the ongoing use of fossil fuels, a proclaimed 95% certainty of 97% of scientists, and the high-powered projections of the world's most advanced climate models, the climate has refused to pay the slightest heed. The debate is also unique in that the alarmists refuse to directly address their opponents, preferring to ignore, censor, and personally denigrate them. All who disagreed were deemed to be fools, knaves, and/or in the pan pocket of big energy. Self-serving publicity releases were regurgitated, undigested beneath the bylines of environmental reporters, who eagerly reduced themselves to unquestioning stenographers. Yet, even as the alarmist received kid-glove treatment in the mainstream media, the internet has been a very different story. Think here of how What's Up With That demolished the charlatan Michael Mann and his infamous hockey stick, and the ClimateGate emails revealed the lengths professional warmists are prepared to go in order to silence skeptics, not least by debasing the conventions of the peer review process. Close quote. Mark. Scoffing at the way the same people who told us the science was quote-unquote settled are now latching onto ever more desperate alternative explanations. The missing heat is hiding at the bottom of the ocean. The trade winds are monkeying with the sea thermometers. Dr. Stark continued, quote, the core alarmist proponents only comprise a few dozen, mostly third-rate academics whose scientific reputations are minimal outside of climate alarmism. They co-opted the niche, little-known interdisciplinary field of climatology, proclaimed themselves to be the world authorities, declared a global crisis, received lavish funding to research it, and gained global attention. They have been aided and abetted by sundry fellow travelers who see advantages for various other agendas. Although climate itself is presenting its irrefutable opposing argument, failed prophets never willingly concede defeat until their mouths are stopped with the dust of reality. Until the crunch comes, the rent seekers and their useful idiots in the press will rant and rage without pause. Scientist number 117. Quote, it is difficult to fathom how the main players and proponents of the hockey sticks are still able to act as experts. Close quote. Dr. Sebastian Luning, Ph.D., geologist and co-author of Die Kalte Sonne, or The Cold Sun, former visiting professor at the University of Vienna, contributor to the Encyclopedia of Geology, author of peer-reviewed papers published by the Journal of Petroleum Geology, Sedimentary Geology, and others. Mark. How long can man-world continue in defiance of reality? In 2012, Dr. Luning and his colleague Professor Fritz Varnholt wrote, quote, leading representatives of the IPCC tried for years to have policymakers and citizens believe the pre-industrial temperature history was more or less uneventful and was the ideal climate condition that we should all strive to maintain. The warming of the 20th century, on the other hand, was completely unusual, something dangerous. However, as we now know, the page turned a few years ago, and the notorious hockey stick chapter ended. The flawed curve was taken off the market, and the medieval warm period and little ice age reappeared. As is often the case in history, it is in retrospect difficult to comprehend how this historical joyride could have happened to begin with. It started at the end of the 1990s with a doctoral thesis by Michael Mann, and did not end until about 10 years later, thanks to the discovery of the scientific scandal by Steve McIntyre and Ross McKittrick. Today, it is difficult to fathom how the main players and proponents of the hockey sticks are still able to act as experts and public opinion shapers. One of the main excuses used back then was that the medieval warm period and Little Ice Age in Europe and North America were local phenomena. At other locations on the planet, the temperature anomalies were more than evened out. Example, Stefan Rahmstorf, Gerald Hogg. For years, we had to listen to their tales, and we had to trust these quote-unquote specialists for better or for worse. Moreover, we paid them with our tax money so that they could deal exclusively with the climate and carry out the tedious work all this entails. Close quote. Mark. As Dr. Luning and Varnholt point out, there were numerous pre-man studies, a 1995 Japanese paper from Geophysical Research Letters, etc., that provided plenty of evidence for worldwide medieval warming greater than today. Quote, the medieval warm period and the Little Ice Age as a local North Atlantic phenomenon? A nutty claim. Close quote. Scientist number 118. Quote, in many fields of endeavor, man would have been struck off the list of practitioners. Close quote. Professor Ian Plimer, PhD. Professor Emeritus of Earth Sciences at the University of Melbourne and Professor of Mining Geology at the University of Adelaide. Recipient of the Sir Willis Connolly Medal from the Australasian Institute of Mining and Metallurgy, the Clark Medal from the Royal Society of New South Wales, the Eureka Prize from the Australian Museum, the Centenary Medal from the Government of Australia, and the Leopold von Buch Plaquette from the German Geological Society. Fellow of the Australian Academy of Technological Sciences and Engineering, the Australian Institute of Geoscientists, the Australasian Institute of Mining and Metallurgy, an Honorary Fellow of the Geological Society of London, member of the Royal Society of New South Wales, the Royal Society of South Australia, the Royal Society of Victoria, and the Geological Society of Australia, co-editor of the Encyclopedia of Geology. In 2009, a new phosphate mineral was named plimerite in honor of his contributions to the geology of ore deposits. Mark, it is indeed difficult to fathom how man and his hockey team are still able to pose as experts. Ian Plimer took up the same theme, albeit somewhat more forcefully expressed than Drs. Luning and Verenholt. On page 97 of his book, Heaven and Earth, 2009, Professor Plimer summarizes man's behavior. Quote, in many fields of science, this would have been considered as fraud. In many fields of endeavor, man would have been struck off the list of practitioners. In the field of climate studies, he was thrashed in public with a feather and still gainfully practices his art. Close quote. The damage is not to one third-rate computer modeler, but to science itself. Quote, after reading the history of the hockey stick, no one could ever again trust the IPCC or the scientists and environmental extremists who author the climate assessments. The IPCC has encouraged a collapse of rigor, objectivity, and honesty that were once the hallmarks of the scientific community. Close quote. Mark. The 19th century polymath Charles Babbage, half of whose brain is on display at the Science Museum in London, the other half at the Royal College of Surgeons, built some steam-powered mechanical computing machines, any of which would have done a better job than whatever contraption man runs his numbers through. On page 473 of Heaven and Earth, Professor Plimer reminds us of Babbage's identification of the three forms of scientific dishonesty. 1. Trimming. The smoothing of irregularities to make data look extremely accurate. 2. Bias. Retention of data that fits the theory and discarding data that does not fit the theory. And 3. Forging. Inventing some or all of the data. Close quote. And then Professor Plimer adds with immense restraint, quote, some science supporting human-induced global warming, most notably the hockey stick of man, fulfills at least two of these criteria.